Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by AkashicReading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. I'm your host, Terry Uktana, and today we'll be looking at how to let go of the spiritual releasing process, and instead reconnect with our Akasha or life force so we can unfold and thrive. Most healing modalities come from the perspective of stopping the pain. Whether it be spiritual, emotional, or physical, the idea is the pain needs to stop, and once the pain has stopped, the person is healed or as healed as the modality can achieve. I call this the triage perspective. The idea is to stop the problem from getting any worse, repair the damage, then support the natural healing process to put things back the way they were. Intervention draws our attention like any event which is out of the norm. We're fascinated by what is unique, different, out of the ordinary, or what disrupts routine. Unfortunately, this draw can cause us to focus all our attention on intervention and think the healer and the modality are the entire healing process when they are one necessary part. Healing is, very generally, a two-part process. There's the intervention for the times when events have negatively interrupted our regular routine, therefore we need to focus on triage to remedy the situation, and there's the healing where we move outward to rebuild our lives, incorporating our new state of being and the wisdom attained. A good example of this is a broken bone. First, the break occurs and triage is necessary. Most people have either experienced this themselves or helped someone else through it. You have to figure out what happened, the break, sprain, or bruise, get the swelling down, set the bone back into the right place or right alignment with everything else. Then bind it in place, either with wrapping or casting or even with new structures such as pins, plates, and plastic. Intervention continues to make sure everything is fusing correctly. There might need to be further structure or multiple stages of support to go through. At some point, the intervention ends because it's done what it can do, but the healing doesn't stop at the intervention. Afterwards comes rebuilding. Muscles which have atrophied need to be rebuilt. Tendons and ligaments need to be used and encouraged to stretch and strengthen. The person needs to relearn what it means to use that particular bone or the structures around it. They have to learn to trust it again, to trust themselves. Beyond this, they don't go back to being who they were before the break. Their literal structure and foundation have changed. The structure has released the old and taken on the new. They need to explore this new self, learn what it makes possible, what new infusion it's bringing, and unfold the new self that has become. Healing trauma follows the same pattern of triage and rebuilding, yet people often get stuck in the intervention stage. I meet people who tell me of spending decades releasing trauma. Some are the definition of, I've tried everything, and I ache for them. They have released through various types of therapy, energy modalities, food cleanses, special diets, retreats, and meditations. So much Reiki they can't bear the thought of one more treatment, and still the trauma persists. Usually, they're in despair that this is just the way it is, and yet it can't be, because they simply can't imagine living this way one day more, so they search again for some way to release. Their lives have turned into empty husks where the focus has become all about coping with the trauma and healing the trauma by releasing it rather than living. Letting go of things or releasing what's holding us back is one of the most common remedies in the spiritual and therapeutic communities. It's become the aspirin of healing modalities. It's seemingly good for an amazing range of common maladies and recommended you do it once a day as a preventative measure. It's also, unfortunately, transformed over time into a ritualized phrase like have a nice day or God bless you or I'm sorry for your loss. It's become part of a social formula governing how we discuss personal issues in our lives. Rather than allude to them through euphemism, which in times past allowed the listener to validate and acknowledge us without having to act or inquire any further, we instead speak of our issues openly. We then add we're working to release our need for this issue or let go of the behavior, which in the end serves the same social function. Releasing what no longer serves us is a valid, helpful, and even normal part of life, which allows us to grow on all levels of being, including the body, hence our invention of the tooth fairy. It's a process which supports us in discerning when something which we were, experienced, participated in, owned, created, or even strived for has provided all it can to us. Once its continued existence in our lives moves from positive to neutral, our releasing process is triggered. We begin to evaluate whether further action can or needs to be taken in order to return the target to a positive state, or instead, we should begin the releasing process in order to prevent any negative repercussions. It's not uncommon for people who had difficult childhoods or dysfunctional families to struggle as adults in a variety of ways. The pain and heartbreak of not being loved, of being abused, neglected, misunderstood, or required to take on adult roles too soon requires children to create survival mechanisms, learn dysfunctional behaviors, and mold their perception of self into ways which meet the needs of the family rather than the child. All of this helps them succeed in surviving childhood, but often becomes negative once they're an adult and no longer directly involved in the structures of their family of origin. It can also be a hindrance should they be required to re-engage with the family after a long absence, or even keep them trapped within the family against their soul's desires for freedom and healing. Releasing is often used as a blanket tool for working with these types of situations. People are asked to release the pain of childhood and move forward with a new life. They're asked to release old habits, ways of seeing themselves, old labels and beliefs, the ways of a lifetime, so their life can improve. This, unfortunately, can lead to years and decades of frustration, depression, despair, and even emotionally abusive behavior as the person seeks to let go of a need which never goes away, no matter what they try. So many people spend more time in self-archaeology trying to find the root of their problems than they did surviving childhood. Releasing is only useful if we're holding on to something. If what we actually need is to reach out for something, then releasing is counterproductive. Often the remedy which would be most healing for people is the one thing they're told the universe will magically provide for them. Validation, approval, love, support, acknowledgement, fun, and happiness. The message is that somehow if they release something inside, what seems to be a behavior and is in actuality a cry for help, then the universe will give them what they desire. This is somewhat like thinking if we breathe out enough, long enough, thoroughly enough, then air will be pushed into our lungs. Full healing doesn't happen via triage or, I should say, we don't become completely healed human beings because we've received triage via a healer or have triaged ourselves. Healing continues in what we do with our lives after the triage has been applied. Once the broken leg has been stabilized and the intervention has allowed it to fuse, it's up to us to start using it. In healing trauma, people mistake releasing for the healing. They're led to believe if they release, then they'll feel better and return to normal, and when they don't, they seek more releasing. Instead, once releasing has been done, the next step is to become acquainted with the new self which has come into being and begin to build trust. Akasha, the substance of the Akashics, also called prana or chi, the life force which animates us, has holistic healing properties which we can access consciously to heal trauma. It's constantly flowing into and out of us in two different directions, filling us with resources and helping us become or manifest our lives. The Akashic flow from the universe enters us through our crown or the top of our head and flows through us downward, exiting the perineum or the feet or both, thereby manifesting into the embodied world. The Akashic flow from the manifested world, in particular the earth, enters us through our feet or perineum or both, and flows up and out from the top of our head, thus returning our becoming to our higher self and the universe at large. Both of these flows are necessary for our health and to keep us integrated into the web of life physically and spiritually. Trauma of all kinds affects our ability to utilize these flows, sometimes even interrupting or rerouting them. Akasha is wonderful for helping us with the second phase of trauma, when we're ready to heal after releasing, when we're willing to learn who we've become and to create the trust in this new, wiser, and more capable version of ourselves. People ask me, when do I know I'm ready to heal? The answer is unique for everyone, and only that person can truly know when they're ready. But there are a few ways to recognize when it could be time. If you've dug through the traumatic events so often and so deeply, there is not one uninvestigated or rehashed action or movement, then it's probably time to move into the second phase. If your body has plateaued in its healing and now is just an unresponsive sponge for energy or releasing work, then you're usually ready to move forward. If you feel so empty there's nothing left but echoing space, memories, and dust, then it's time to move forward if for no other reason than you deserve better. If the body seems to be moving backwards, getting worse and pickier and more reactive rather than less, then you're likely getting signaled it's time to stop the triage and start the healing, or that a new layer of trauma is being revealed. Just as the body seeks to be healthy, Akasha seeks to support us in being connected and achieving our highest potential. Akasha flowing into us from the universe carries universal wisdom and message from our higher self, which is encoded so each energy center of the body receives what they need the way they need it to inform every aspect of our lives. Akasha flowing up from the world is providing us with embodied connective message we can use to help us manifest ourselves and our purpose, again, encoded exactly how each of our energy centers needs to receive it. To begin the healing process using Akasha, or to supplement and support a healing process already in progress, we can tap into these flows through our energy centers. I recommend people work with whatever system they're most familiar with, whether this is the chi points in Chinese medicine, the chakras of Hinduism, or the Sephirot of Kabbalah. These are not separate or competing spiritual programs any more than nerves and veins and the lymphatic system compete to fully describe the physical body. Instead, they're maps of the physical Akashic system, each one focusing on a specific process. Using whatever of these systems is best known or works best for you, the first step is to determine where the trauma is affecting you energetically or physically. It's common for me to see people who have perfectly well-functioning chakras from the solar plexus upwards. We're a brain or thought-oriented culture, and spiritual people tend to focus their work on the upper centers, such as being open-hearted and cultivating gratitude, which is heart chakra, or seeing universal truths, which is the third eye, and speaking the truth or having an authentic voice, which is throat chakra. Most spiritual practices also focus on the spiritual or self-connection, which sits in the solar plexus, so many people work with this energy center either to strengthen it and therefore their self-esteem, or to use it as a door through which to access higher self in the universe. You know, the go inwards, see the light, then follow it outwards to other realms kind of thing. So where I often see unhealed trauma suffering from over-triage is the energy centers of the lower body, the hips, perineum, and legs. There are many reasons why these areas suffer the most from trauma or linger in a trauma-induced state. The hips, or second chakra, is where we hold the concept of value, how we value others and others are valued in return. It's a physical creativity center which includes not only procreation, but also regeneration of the self and the other, and the self with the other. The perineum, or root chakra, is where we manifest our identity into the world through the necessities or logistics of living. If we see the big picture clearly with our third eye, our root is how we navigate the big picture as it exists and brings our piece of it into existence. And our legs are the foundation we stand on, the method by which we make our way in the world, the way in which we literally walk our path. These are what we're most often attempting to heal through releasing because they're what has been so materially damaged by trauma. Our core, who we truly are as a soul, as a being, hasn't actually been touched, and we can reconnect with it in the core or center of our being. Unfortunately, our soul's connection to the outside world, how it's able to interact, is something which we can easily be separated from. To begin the healing, we need to reconnect with these lower centers. Often, we try to force them into acting the way we want, into behaving as if the trauma has not occurred, or to take on new tasks which leapfrog the trauma in order to land us in a new and better life of our choosing. This usually doesn't work, and so we take on more triage, which can, over time, become abusive in its own right by continually reinforcing the wounded or injured state. Instead, when triage has been implemented and the time has come to move forward, we can utilize Akasha to help reintroduce us to these aspects of ourselves. I sometimes recommend clients start from the core, from the solar plexus area, and refrain from any of the practices they have connected with it before. Set aside the need to travel through it to somewhere else, the desire to make it do something like spin or activate or expand, or the itch to try and get a kundalini response. Instead, they should simply connect with it and note what they experience, how they feel, and any information or inspiration they receive. Beyond just the goodness, wisdom, and healing which comes from doing this, they're also setting a baseline for themselves. This is a chakra which they trust and that trusts them. This is what a healthy relationship with the self feels like. With this firmly in mind, they can then follow the Akasha downwards. The idea is to reach the chakras which are suffering and do exactly like what was done, but to their core. Connect, note what they experience, how they feel, and any information or experience they receive. That's it. Just like anyone who has been traumatized, this part of the self has a story to tell and wants to be heard. It needs to be acknowledged and validated. It needs to be loved. It's been separate and needs to be welcomed home. At the end of each meditation, I recommend the person tap into the Akasha, which is flowing up into them, and fill the energy center with it. So instead of feeling a loss as the conscious healing process ends, the center is filled with nourishment. This creates a positive healing spiral by rewarding the hard work involved in the process, providing the raw materials for improvements, and supporting the rebuilding of connection and trust. Like regaining muscle and mobility, we don't just need long-term goals and long-term rewards, we need encouragement and positive reinforcement in the moment. Nourishing energy after hard work is like a great meal after a hard workout. Well deserved. Akasha can help any area which has been affected. For instance, it can help if someone struggles with having their own voice or standing up for themselves, which is throat chakra, or in being able to decide on one course of action over another, which are the Sephirot's Chokmah and Binah, or to attract or find a healthy community, which is the Leg Sephirot Netzach. For these, the same process applies, where the person should start at their core, or whatever energy center they connect with best, and then move towards the affected area. Once they feel their relationship with this new area is as healthy and well-functioning as the first, then they should move on to another and another. While magical, this type of work is not a magic wand which resolves all issues, but it is a means to begin a process. Akasha heals holistically, which means it works on all the levels of self, so working with an energy center will affect all aspects of your life. I sometimes like to think of it like a flower whose stem is put into dyed water. We don't realize all the amazing organic connections of things until we see them highlighted like dye moving through the veins of flowers. We may not realize everything which has been affected by the trauma, but the good thing is we don't have to. Akasha can not only help us heal, but help us identify new skills we've acquired, new perceptions we've developed, and the wisdom we can put into play to make our lives better than they've ever been. And that's all the time we have this week. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashagreeting.com. Thank you to my patron of honor this week, Lourdes. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting it by subscribing on Patreon. You can join in patron-only classes, see all my other offerings, and get regular updates about what I'm working on at patreon.com/TerryUptana. Thanks. Bye.